is worthy. Amen. And appreciate the music this morning from West Coast Baptist College. And it's good to have Brother Nick Perficenti with us this morning. And he's the sponsor of the group. He's also the brother of Miss Jessica King, who's married to Tyler King, our children's pastor. He's also the brother of Jonathan Perficenti, who teaches in our academy, the Christian Academy, who recently got married. They're back there, newlyweds. Yeah. But Jonathan's going okay? Yeah? No thumbs up from her, though. No. I'm just kidding. But so there's some connections here. It's great to be able to support and be a part of some Bible colleges across the nation who are still standing by the stuff, standing for the Bible, and doing it the old-fashioned way. I appreciate West Coast Baptist College. And I appreciate, again, the support and the love and all the things that go on with that. Brother Nick, you come on and preach for us this morning and say something about the school, and we appreciate you.
Welcome to Texas that said drive friendly the Texas way. Well, I'm from New Jersey, and the sign probably says something like drive fast or get out of the way. And I can tell you that New Jersey drivers aren't the kindest people in the world. They like to vocalize their disdain for you in many different ways. Sometimes hand gestures are involved, but you know, they like to tell you how great of a driver or not great of a driver you are on the road. And I've kind of picked up some of that, unfortunately, myself. And, you know, I might have a moment or two where someone cuts me off and I might say, come on, man, or are you serious, or something of that effect. And I remember very clearly learning my lesson that I'm teaching my daughter things without actually to have to teach her things while she was in the back seat. We were driving, and I was in my five-speed Jetta. It was a little car, and it didn't go really fast, and so sometimes people didn't like the fact that I didn't go very fast in that car on the road. And we were on the road one time getting off of one of the exits, and it was one of those exits that you get off of while people are trying to get on. You know what I'm talking about? And it sometimes gets a little crowded and a little compact and a little confusing. And as I'm getting off this exit, I found myself throwing the clutch into neutral, or throwing the shifter into neutral, and slamming on the brakes, because out of my left-hand corner, there was a guy that speeded across and cut us off out of like three lanes over on the left-hand side. And as I'm slamming on the brakes and kind of getting ready to tell this guy what I think about his driving, from the back seat in her little car seat, I hear my daughter go, "Are you serious?" There was another time where my wife was driving, and I guess Evelyn kept looking over the side. My daughter's name is Evelyn. My son's name is Elliot. She kept kind of looking over the seats and seeing kind of where the numbers were on the dashboard and stuff like that. And my wife was looking back in her rear view mirror, just looking back at Evelyn. And she noticed she was kind of getting a little bit annoyed at something. And she finally said, Evelyn said to my wife, "Mommy, you're going too fast." And at that moment, I was like, yes, yes. All right, backseat driver, you know, teaching her the right ways. But my daughter picks up on so many things that oftentimes I don't intend to teach her. I do hope, however, that my son and daughter do pick up on things that maybe I don't need to say. Like, we go to church every Sunday. I hope my son and daughter value that. I hope my son and daughter value the fact that I might pull out the Bible in the mornings and just read with them. Help them to understand who Jesus is. I hope they pick up a prayer life from their mom and my eye. I hope my son picks up the lesson on how to treat your wife someday. I hope that my daughter picks up a lesson on what a guy should look like that she's going after, as far as like for marriage or whatever it might be. I hope that she picks up on these lessons. Well, the disciples in John chapter number 13, and as I walked through that courtyard just a few miles from here, I saw something that needed no words. There was a statue of a man, and he was sitting in a chair, and he had his foot extended. And there was another statue of another man who was girded with a towel, washing the other man's feet. And here the disciples are going to learn a valuable lesson from the greatest servant who ever existed. Verse number 1 says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." And I love that phrasing. He loved them unto the end. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord God, you've been so good to us. Thank you for not coming to be ministered unto, but coming to minister and to give your life for us, Lord. Thank you for the blood that you shed on Calvary for our sins. Lord, we don't take that lightly. Thank you for giving us this example of what a servant should be, and thank you for the lessons that we can learn from your example. We love you, Lord. Allow us to walk away from this place knowing you just a little bit better and serving you with a whole heart. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. In the last week of his life before the cross, Jesus Christ found himself doing something that was quite unlovely. Frankly, if I only had 1 week to live, and by the way, Jesus knew he only had about 1 week's time, if I only had 1 week, I probably wouldn't be washing feet. I think feet are quite disgusting. My son, who's 3 years old, he's kind of a jokester and a prankster, likes to get up on the couch and stick his feet right in my face. And it's like, come on, kid, you know, what are you doing? I hate feet. They're disgusting. I might, you know, get a couple rounds of golf in. It was the last week of my life. I might go do something extraordinary. But Jesus finds himself surrounded by his disciples, and he's doing something that was just culturally almost unacceptable, culturally against the grain, against the norm. Jesus found himself doing something that was quite honestly disgusting by nature, washing his disciples' feet. For he knew that 11 of these men, one of course would betray him. And by the way, just extra, this one that would betray him, he still went and washed his feet as well. It's interesting. 11 of these men would be the men that would lead the local church someday. 11 of these men would be the men that would be essentially the ones to get this kickstart off to this local entity that would be called the church. And so he was teaching them, if you're going to lead the people who I'm going to give my life for, this is how you lead them, by serving. And he's teaching this unbelievable lesson without having to say a word. And the disciples here, I believe they find several lessons that they've learned that Jesus didn't have to say a word to teach. And the first lesson that they learn here is that serving neglects position and possession. Serving neglects position and possession. You'll notice in verse number 1, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. And later on in the chapter, verse number 13, he would say, ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. It's not that Jesus is rejecting his position here. He's not rejecting the fact that he is God. He's not rejecting the fact that he was their master and Lord. He's neglecting it. He's putting it off to the side for just a second so that he can show the disciples how really to lead by serving. Oftentimes what happens is we think of ourselves as too high or too high on this positional scale to get on our knees and do the dirty jobs. We think of ourselves as having too much or being too much to do that particular job. And I think all of us have been in a scenario where a opportunity has come to serve and it's like, oh man, someone else can do that. Someone else can take that job. Someone else can take that position. Someone else can do that dirty thing. Someone can go clean the bathrooms. Someone can go and talk to the bus kids. Someone can go, and you can fill in the blank, the jobs that we sometimes will say, you know what, someone under me can do that. But Jesus was doing the job that not even a Jewish slave would do. The Jewish people at this time understand that they had this almost high-mindedness. In the empire, in the Roman Empire of these days, 60% of the population was enslaved. It's quite a bit. Most of them were more or less indentured servants, so they literally had kind of sold themselves into slavery in order to pay off debts or to be able to have land later on. But nonetheless, there was many, many slaves within this region and era. And what's really unique is that the Jewish people would take even Jewish slaves and have them become servants in the household. But if there was a Gentile servant in the household, they wouldn't even let the Jewish servants wash the feet because it was so low of a job. You know, it's really interesting, even in the culture of that day, I've read through Greco-Roman type authors, and none of them, not a single one, mentions a master doing a job that is below him. Why? This was just culturally unacceptable. This was an honor-type society. But you know what's really interesting is that the local church or the early Christians assessed that if the greatest man we have ever known chose to forego his status for the good of others, greatness must come from humble service. I don't know what your destiny will be, one man said, but one thing I know, the only ones among you who will really be happy are those who have sought and found how to serve. Jesus displayed that serving sometimes neglects position and possession. Not only did he neglect his position, but we can see he literally laid aside his garments. He laid aside his fresh, clean garments to serve. What is it that we reject to lay aside in order to serve the way that God wants us to serve? Is there something in our way that oftentimes it's like, I'm not going to serve because of this? Oh, my friends, Jesus neglected his possessions and he neglected his position in order to do the dirty job. The second lesson that I found was that serving accepts a greater mission. Serving accepts a greater mission. Verse number 3 has the phrasing, and that he was come from God and went to God. And all throughout the disciples' life, or a time with Jesus, I should say, they would hear Jesus ultimately uttering one phrase, that I must be about my Father's business. I must do the will of him that sent me. And often when Jesus would do something, it would be because it was for the will of the Father. It was, I am serving the Father's will. And when we serve others, it's for a greater purpose. And often we don't serve because maybe we've got something in mind that we're doing, or something that we want to do, or something that we can go do. I remember as a teenager being in the youth group, and there were so many opportunities to serve. I mean, so many. And one of my regrets is not taking advantage of all of them, because I wanted to go be with my buddies, or I wanted to go and go to Six Flags, which was about 30 to 40 minutes away, or I wanted to go and hang out with this person or do this thing. And I think the mentality for Christians is often the same, where there's so many things in the way, but there's so many opportunities waiting for us. And my friends, I've got to tell you that serving accepts a greater mission, that you're here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And by doing that, we serve others. The mission of Jesus was to fulfill the will of his Father, and so there he was on the ground washing the disciples' feet. The third lesson I find is that serving requires stepping away. Verse number 4 really caught me. Last time I went through this passage, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments. Literally everyone is surrounding, probably in a laying down position. Oftentimes it's how they would eat, is they would kind of lay down and lean on one arm and take their food and eat with their the arm that was either stronger or more coordinated. And so they would converse like this, and dinners would last hours. In fact, to dine has its originations in the word to linger, to stay a little longer. And that's why we call the word dinner, because we come together and we linger together. And so what's really interesting here is that Jesus literally steps away from it. And oftentimes we would find that this was what the servants would do. They would refrain from interaction with others. They would kind of be the wallflower, so to speak. They would stay away from all that was happening within the main guests' conversations. And they would stay off to the side, and then they would do the sturdy job. Well, Jesus Christ stepped away from the conversation, stepped away from the maybe the hosts of the house, the guests that were there. He stepped away in order to serve. And I think this is one of the biggest problems that we have as Christians. We're just not willing to step away. You see, it's almost like we have this schedule, and we're on this line, and we're on this track, and we don't want anyone to take us off of that track. You know, I remember in John chapter number 4 where Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. This was kind of out of bounds for the Jewish people. Of course, they had this hatred towards the Samaritans and the Samaritans towards them. And so the disciples would have found this quite odd for Jesus to need to go through Samaria. And yet, that's exactly what he did. He stepped away from the clear track. How many times have we rejected an opportunity to serve someone or something because we just can't get out of our schedule? We can't step aside from the purpose maybe we have. Jesus, without saying a word, would show us it's time to step aside and start seeing the needs of others. Our pastor, I love him dearly. He often says, see the need and take the lead. It's always okay to step aside to serve someone. someone who has a need. Because therein do we show the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And then the final lesson, and I think this catches me. Jesus accepted the dirty job. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. You know, I really think, Pastor, that this was more than just him showing them how to serve, but this was an illustration of what he would do just about a week later, where Jesus Christ would step aside, where he'd allow himself to be taken, where he'd be beaten, he'd be spit on, and my Jesus would be mocked. And he would be whipped with that cat of nine tails. And by the way, he would be whipped by the Roman guards, who really didn't care how many times he whipped them. You know, the Jews did 39 save, or 40 save one. And so oftentimes they would go to 39 and stop there. But the Romans, they would just keep going. Often at times until they literally had whipped someone to where they cut them straight in half. Jesus endured that. And then he bore the cross. And he carried it to Calvary. And he had that crown of thorns upon his head. And yes, he was doing the dirty job, because we couldn't do it on our own. He was washing away our sins as we're like scarlet, the Bible says. Our sins were as scarlet, but he was there to make them white as snow. And Jesus took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, the Apostle Paul would say. And he became obedient unto death. The servant of Jehovah, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Jesus took the dirty job upon himself. Took those nails in his hands and the nails in his feet. And he took that spear in his side and he served humanity who cannot serve themselves. For God so loved the world, the group sang about, that he gave, he served, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, if you're here today and you're visiting, I want to encourage you, come back. Your pastor's a great preacher. Come back next week and hear him preach. But today is the day of salvation. Today, I've got to tell you, there was a man by the name of Jesus Christ who didn't only wash the disciples' feet, but he went to Calvary and shed his own blood so that he could wash your sins away. Amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we are yet sinners, in other words, while we are yet in our sin and enmity with God, Christ died for us. He served us that way. My friends, he loves you. You personally. And my Bible says that God is love. It's not that just God loves, but God is love. He's the epitome of what love is. He is the existence of love. And God loves you as much as someone could ever be loved, and he died for you. And today, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Today, grace is free. He gives it out. It's already been paid for. It's already been purchased. My friends who have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, are we learning the lessons that Jesus taught here? He didn't have to say a word. And he taught us that serving neglects position and possession. He taught us that serving accepts a greater mission. He told us that serving requires for us to step away. And finally, serving accepts the dirty jobs. So as we examine our lives, as we take a look at the opportunities that have been given to us, how are we serving? Are we serving others? Or ultimately, are we serving ourselves? Christ did the dirty job in order to show us how to greatly serve those around us. And by the way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's all about him. It's all about His glory today. Today, if you don't know for sure that Christ is your Savior, you can accept Him today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the first day of the rest of your lives for those who just haven't served well, or maybe you're serving yourself. Take a look around you and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, the greatest servant who ever lived. Let's have a word of prayer together. God, just thank You so much for all that You've given us. Thank You for the opportunity to be here, to be with these dear people, this fantastic church, Lord. I want to thank You for not having to say a word in this lesson that You were teaching the disciples. Lord, it's one of the greatest lessons that we can ever learn, how to serve others effectively like You served. Lord, let that mind be in us. Let us not walk away from this place just thinking about how we can fulfill what we want throughout the week, but how we can serve others like Your Son. Lord, maybe there's one or two in here that have never heard about the love that You gave to mankind when You went to Calvary to serve. You gave Your life as a ransom for many. You shed Your blood to wash away our sins. Lord, maybe today is the day for them to accept You as their personal Savior. Lord, allow them to make that bold choice today. Lord, we love You. Bless in this invitation. Pastor.